possible now that you're here. This morning, we're going to be looking at God's sons are gathered by the revealed word of God. The word for their hour, whereas the false vine are gathered to organization. We're going to show you how that happens. So we'll open our Bibles first to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 10. That in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things in Christ. Now that in one is Christ himself. Both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we thank you for your word. We ask you, Lord, to be with us today. Help me in my body, O God, and help the believers, Lord, to hear it, recognize it, and then act upon it. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now, from the anointed ones at the end time, Brother Bram said, so you see, we notice Moses never give them what was Noah's time. We'll build an ark now. Because that's the word. You know, Noah built an ark one day, and no vultures was eating on that. No, this was a promised word. Notice, for his message he had from God, he had the genuine predestinated word of God for the hour. Neither did Jesus serve them Moses' leftovers. Moses had the word for that hour, but Moses was a prophet. And here's God himself. See, he never served them Moses' leftovers. But just look at the vulture there in the organization was glutting over it. We know we got Moses. We don't have to have you, he said. If you don't know Moses, you'd have known me. Or if you had known Moses, you'd have known me because Moses spoke of me. Oh my, see, where the carcass is, the eagles will gather together. So what we're looking at is Brother Branham's letting us know that the elect of God, there's a true vine, false vine, and the elect of God will always be drawn to the word for their hour. Not just to the word, because we have every denomination was founded on the word, a scripture, a doctrine from the Bible. But as Brother Brown says, the fresh kill of the word that's raised up and fattened and been made manifest and give out to the food for the children, not the old carcass that laid there for hundreds of years. There it'll be same now. Luther had a message of repentance, but you bunch of Lutheran buzzards. Baptists had a message, but you Baptist buzzards, see? The Pentecost had a message, come on, coming home now. Pentecost buzzards, but where the carcass is, there the eagles will gather together. Now, I know Brother Bram's language is a little bit terse, a little hard, but let's face it, buzzards are God's creation too, all right? So we have eagles, we have buzzards. They both eat meat, but the buzzards happen to let it rot a little bit so they can smell it before they eat it. Now this morning we're going to look at not only who the true vine and false vine are gathered to, but by what instrument or vehicle God used to do the gathering. This is very relevant for this day. In Mark chapter 13, verse 27, and then shall he send his angels and shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the uttermost parts of the earth to the uttermost parts of heaven. Okay, so we know there's going to be a gathering, but this morning we'll examine how that gathering is to take place and what method God uses to gather both vines. Now, this gathering did not happen in Jesus' day. He just worked among the elect of Israel. But today, God is gathering his elect from the four corners of the earth. And so we must ask the question, how is God gathering his elect from all over the world in this hour? And the prophet that God sent with a message is gone. He did travel the globe, but he only went to about a dozen countries or so. And that is not the four corners of the earth, as Jesus tells us, that will take place. So there has to be some way that God is gathering from the four corners of the earth or the entire world. According to what Jesus said, he will use a net, as he said he would, to gather the people from the nations, peoples, multitudes, and tongues. Now, back 24 years ago, we set up messagedoctrine.net. And we had to choose, we had to make a choice, and all we had to choose were, at the time, the suffixes. It was a .net, .org, and .com. Now, the .net was the only choice we really had, because when I saw the .net, I saw it as a gospel net being cast upon human troubled waters. Others who had already chosen their website names used .org for their suffix. with all the things Brother Branham has spoken against organization, and that's what .org stands for, I cannot even think of any reason to use it because God is against organization. We were the only ones to choose the .net suffix of all the ministries that went online in those days. And I ask the question, why? Because God hates organization. We wanted to use the .net to draw people like a huge net to the doctrine of Christ, not to an organization. I never had studied the parable of the net until 3 years later, and then realized why God had to use the net as our suffix. Then I preached a sermon on the parable of the net back in 2003, but it is still very pertinent to this day, and even more so as these last days close to their end. So we find in Matthew 13:47, Jesus telling us a parable about the end time gathering into the kingdom of God. For all the New Testament, he said, speaks of this hour. Now, again, Jesus says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels, or the angelos, the messengers, apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists, shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, this when I see this, and just looking out the way things have gone in the world, it's just so very, very plain. So we're going to go into it a little bit. Now, how do they sever the wicked from among the just? By the sword of the word. If you look at the word is W-O-R-D, correct? Words, W-O-R-D, put the S from the back to the front and becomes what? A sword. All right, so it has significance. By the sword of the word. For by your words you shall be justified, and by your word you shall be condemned. And Jesus said in John 12:48, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words, hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. So God's vindicated prophet said in his sermon, Shalom. Now the same word the same word that was reflected in Moses could not be reflected in Elijah, because that was another day. Same one that was reflected in Noah could not be in Moses because, see, Noah built an ark. Moses led a people. Just exactly what was promised. The same light was reflected in one, wasn't in the other, but one told of the other. And all the New Testament speaks of this hour. And then he goes on. Jesus Christ speaks of this hour. Who is it then? Some man. It's Jesus Christ, the Son of God, manifesting, reflecting the light of the word that he promised for this day. When men see you living like him, when he sees your character, your conduct with the word, just exactly like he was, the word being manifested, then men will see Jesus Christ. They won't have to look around elsewhere and say, what does this creed teach? What does this creed teach? They know what God is when they see you. Therefore, remember, this is Jesus speaking of this hour, and we find him saying, again, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a net. Now remember, a kingdom is not a place. A kingdom is a king and his subjects. That's it. So kingdoms can move, they can gain territory, lose territory, but it's still a kingdom, all right? Because there's a king and his people. So when he speaks of the kingdom of heaven is like unto, he's letting us know that when the king is gathered with his people, it's going to be like this. Now remember, a net is for one purpose, and that is to gather it into itself. So the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a net. All right. At the gathering, then, there's going to be a gathering using a net. When he uses the term the kingdom of heaven, he's speaking the time when the Son of Man has come to gather together his elect by his word. It is speaking of the end time gathering of the elect into the kingdom of God and his word. And notice that Jesus likened this to a net in this parable. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind. And never forget, the entire New Testament speaks of this hour. So when we see this parable, it's got to be represented in this hour. Now, we know the parable speaks of this net being cast into the sea. So we know that the net has to be big enough to be cast into the sea. He was not talking about a lake or a stream or a river, but the sea. Therefore, we must know what kind of net this is and what the sea represents, because after all, this parable speaks of the end time gathering of the elect. How are they going to be gathered? Now, this net has got to be a really big net because it is cast into the sea. And a net is a device that is used to catch fish. But Jesus told the early disciples like Peter that were fishermen that he would make them fishers of men. So we're looking at a device that is used to catch men, not fish, a net to catch men. Now, in those days, they used nets made from ropes that were woven together like spider webs. But today, instead of a net fashioned after a spider web, we have a different sort of a net that is fashioned after a web and is called the Internet or the World Wide Web. All right. Another thing we must look at in understanding the parallel of this parable to this hour is that this net Jesus is talking about was cast into the sea. Now, we're told by the Holy Spirit that the sea is nations, multitudes, tongues, and people. Therefore, it is a worldwide net, or net, we are looking at here. A net that is large enough to go to peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. We're told that in Revelation chapter 17. Now, Isaiah 17 and 12 tells us, But woe to the multitude of many people which make a noise like the noise of the seas, and to the rushing of nations that make a rushing like the rushing of mighty waters. The nations shall rush like the rushing of many waters, but God shall rebuke them, and they shall flee afar off, and shall be chased as the chaff of the mountains before the wind, and like a rolling thing before the whirlwind. Now notice that the nations are likened to rushing waters, or are like the noise of the sea. Remember in Revelations, when he asked who this woman was, he said, it's a city that sitteth upon many hills. And, it's a city made up of seven hills, and it rains over, and it sits upon the sea. All right, and John says, and the waters upon which the woman sitteth is nations, multitudes, nations, tongues, and people. So we see then that the word sea, as we see in Isaiah here, we see it in Revelations, it represents nations, multitudes, and people. All right. So in Isaiah 23 and 2, Be silent, ye inhabitants of the coastal, you merchants of Sidon, you messengers crossed the sea, and they were on great waters. The grain of Sihor, the harvest of the Nile, was Tyre's revenue, and she was the market of the nation. So the sea is the market. The peoples, nations, multitudes, and tongues is the market. All right. That's why most marketing today is done where? On the net. All right, in this web. Now notice God calls them a market of nations and likens them to the great waters of the sea. Now it is interesting that they are likened to a market because that is exactly what the worldwide net is all about. It is used to market and product and ideas. We also see this type in the book of Revelation, chapter 17, verse 15. And he saith unto me, The waters which thou sawest where the horse sitteth are peoples and multitudes, nations, and tongues. Now, I hope you do not think me to be too presumptuous to say this, but the only net that goes into peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues is the Internet. So this parable Jesus is speaking of that goes into the sea, that was cast into the sea, is the Internet. God used the gospel as a net for ages, and in this last hour he is using the Internet to gather his elect from the four corners of the earth. He is gathering his elect seed to the true doctrine that was brought by his vindicated prophet, William Branham. Now, getting back to our parable, we hear Jesus say, Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind. Now, the word kind used here is the Greek word genos, which speaks of race or nationality. We get our word gene from that. So we see that this net is cast out into the peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues, and is used to gather in all races and nations of people. And then as we read on, we find out what happens after the net pulls in the people. You see, it's not just a matter of putting that net out there, but it's a matter of gathering. Okay, there's a purpose for the net. There's a purpose that it was created for this hour. It was created after Brother Branham was off the scene. All right? So it was for the... there's a purpose. I'm going to go into it and show you now. Now, this Greek word for full is used most often as the word fulfilled or fulfillment, but is also used of a job that is complete or even as a preaching that is not complete or finished. In other words, the child training is completed. So he says, when they cast their nets, which when it was full, the net was full, all right? And we're talking about the completion. in Matthew 1:22, it is translated as fulfilled. Now, all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which were spoken of the Lord by the prophets. In other words, it's finished. So we see the same thing again in Matthew 21 and 4. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophets. In other words, completed, finished. Again in Matthew 26 and 54, but how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled that thus it must be? So in other words, it's still again talking about the finishing up or the fulfilling. But in Luke 7 and 1, the same word is translated as having finished his preaching. Now when he had ended all his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered Capernaum. The word ended is the same word fulfilled. So it's talking about the ending, okay? And in fact, in Acts 12:25, the word is translated in such a way as to show the ministry was finished. And Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry and took them John, whose surname was Mark. So this net is to be out there until the time that it actually it ends the Gentile dispensation. It ends the gathering process, all right? And the Apostle Paul used it in reference to his teaching, the full or complete gospel to the people in Romans 15:19, through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Holy Spirit, so that from Jerusalem and round about Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. And the Apostle Paul also used this word in showing completion, Colossians 2 and 10, and ye are complete in him which is the head of all principality and power. Now remember, we're looking at a net. And Jesus said, until the Gentile dispensation be fulfilled. All right? In other words, when all of the seed of God are gathered, then we can go home. When they're gathered and child trained. Brother Ramson, when the last one is in and child trained, then we can go home. So we're looking at the completion. We're looking at the instrument God uses, the internet. We're looking at the completion. We're looking at the hauling in, you know, of what was brought in through that internet. So we see this placing the net into the sea represents peoples, nations, multitudes, and people. It's for the finishing off the child training and gathering into one body all things in Christ. Now Jesus continues in the parable saying, which when it was full, they drew to shore. All right, so in his parable he says, now, you know, they cast a net into the sea and it brought in many things. And when it was full, then they drew it to shore. Now remember, this same expression is spoken of Ephesians 4:4-16, which speaks of the work of the fivefold ministry as it brings the elect of God into a fullness or completion. He says, there is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherein he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, and that word perfect means fully furnished and completed, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, completely in Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about of every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working of the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So we see this net is cast forth into the world by the fivefold ministry for the work of the ministry to bring the elect to perfection, which means to be finished off and completed in their child training until they are no longer like children who are tossed about, but are fully mature and finished off as sons, ready for adoption. And the instrument that is to do this is the net that Jesus spoke about. In what other ages could you draw God's elect from dozens of nations into one gospel teaching that is unifying the minds of God's elect and filling them with the doxa of God, God's opinions, his values, and his judgment? You see, many people for years, you know, they would read the scriptures, and there are many scriptures that talks about, even when we, in the 80s, when we understood, you know, the parousia, and we understood there'd be a gathering together unto him, we knew it was, we would be gathered, but we didn't know how we would be gathered. I mean, Brother Vail's ministry, which I think was second to only the Apostle Paul as far as teaching ability, you know, he went to about 8, maybe 10 churches total. And that was it around the world. Well, today we have, you know, 10 nations twice a month. We have 10 nations and about 20 to 23 brothers from those nations that come twice a month for our meetings. And so, you know, and we've got many that are hooking up, and just because of work, they can't, you know, Saturdays they can't be there. But so we have an instrument which is called the Internet, that God is using to do his gathering. He's not going around with a spaceship or an airplane, you know, to gather people. He's using the Internet, okay? That's what he said he would do. He said he would use a net. In what other age could you draw God's elect from dozens of nations into gospel teaching that is unifying the minds of God's elect around the doxa of God? Now notice then that this parable in Ephesians 4 speaks of a time where the kingdom of God and all that are ordained to be drawn into it will be done so by this net. So those who are elected to be gathered together in one, all things in Christ, might be completed and finished off. So what they set out to gather is now gathered. This tells us that this casting of the net will not be just one man, because they is plural. As there was website, our message, doctrine.net, dealing with the doctrine of the message and published in many languages, but the Voice of God website puts out the sermons of Brother Branham in many languages, and also BibleWay.org, which has a hub, which also puts Brother Branham's sermons into many languages. So, he says, which when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Now, it does not tell us how many, but there will be more than one with this net ministry. Now, this net will be used to gather both the good and the bad, both the good and those that offend. So there has to be more than just one involved here. And having completed that task, they now leave the waters, or the sea, which is the nation, people, multitudes, and tongues, and they come to land. Now, or they come into the net. Now, to come out of the waters or the sea, they have to come to an elevated place, which is what is land. It is elevated above the nations, multitudes, and peoples, and we are told they draw the net full of the catch and bring it up to a higher elevated state. Now, the word drawn to shore, it means that they have been drawn up or gathered up. And Brother Bram said in his message, Feast of the Trumpets, now as soon as this church, the bride, is drawn together, she's taken up in that mystery of the seventh seal, or the seventh seal of the mystery going. Therefore, this net must bring them into the mystery of the seventh seal, which is the presence of Christ. Then Jesus lets us know that once this net ministry is completed and the peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues have been caught up into the net, then it is drawn, which means it is closed up, and they have been caught up by this net, and they are sealed in. And when they are taken to the elevated place, then the ones doing the drawing, he says, they sat down. And the word means to make it sit down, to set, or to appoint, or to confer a kingdom on one. Now, this last definition is very interesting, especially in the light of William Branham said concerning the end time ministry of the Holy Spirit in our midst. From the first seal, it said, when this Holy Spirit that we have becomes incarnate to us, that's in our midst now, in the form of the Holy Ghost, becomes incarnate to us in the person of Jesus Christ, we'll crown him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, notice then the purpose of the net is to gather the good. And gather the good, and the word good means beautiful by reason of purity of heart and life, which means they are virgins. And hence they are praiseworthy, morally good, and noble. Then that which has been gathered in places is placed into vessels. And now the only other time this Greek word for vessel is used is in speaking of the five wise virgins who had oil in their vessels. So it's speaking of people. Matthew 25:1 tells us, "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps." And the lamp signifies the word of God, for we read in Psalm 119:105, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." But the vessel signifies the person itself. And notice these 10 virgins had the word and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Now remember, both wise and foolish had lamps, but only the wise had the oil or the Holy Ghost in their vessel. All right, they that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. So they had the word, they just couldn't understand it. Because 1 Corinthians 2, no man can understand the things of God except the Spirit of God be in him. So notice they took no oil with them, and them is a personal pronoun. It speaks of the person, not the lamp. But the wise took oil in their vessels, which with their lamp. So you got the vessel and you got the lamp. So the vessel with the lamp. Notice in their vessels with their lamps. So the oil, which signifies the Holy Spirit, was in their vessel or their person. Now, I'm getting back to the parable, Matthew 13, Jesus continues saying, "And gathered the good into vessels." Now, the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4:6, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face or the presence of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." So he's talking about an earthen vessel, which is our body. So we see that this net ministry is to gather from all nations those that are good, so that the light of the glorious presence of Jesus Christ might be placed in earthen vessels. But those others that were gathered by the net that are not the good, which meant beautiful by reason of purity of heart and life, all that are not of this character are then cast away. Now notice Jesus said, "And gather the good into vessels, but cast the bad away." And that means to throw or let go of a thing without caring where it falls. Now we find that God does not watch over the way of the sinner, as we read in the first Psalm. In Psalm 101, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the word of the Lord, and in his word doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. But the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away." And remember, wind stands for the doctrines of men. As the Apostle Paul teaches in Ephesians 2:14, "that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about of every wind of doctrine, but by the sleight of men, and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive." Whereas the doctrine of God is likened unto the rain, as God says in Deuteronomy 32:2, "My doctrine shall fall as the rain." Now, Ephesians 4:11-13 speaks of growing up and ready for adoption, but verse 14 speaks of those who have not grown up and are tossed about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. So this great net that's out there is drawing people into the gospel and is drawing people into the false gospel. All right? It's drawing men into net, like .net, and it's drawing people into organization, like .org. Okay? Words justify and words condemn. All right. Now, right there you see the difference. One is collected while the other is driven away like the chaff. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor the sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Now, this last verse here is the key. "For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous." And the word "knoweth" is the Hebrew word yada, which means to watch over with an active participation, to be made known to or to reveal oneself by way of instruction. "But the way of the ungodly shall perish," and that word is the Hebrew word abad, which I like to say it's just bad, a bad, which means to be left to oneself, to lose, and thus to perish. So, in other words, you know, when the Bible says, "After 2 admonitions, reject as a heretic," it doesn't say bash him, it doesn't say talk bad about him, it just says just let him alone, and they will go off in the way they're supposed to go. All right. So we see that the Lord gathers by means of instruction the good and places the glorious light in their earthen vessels. Remember, we are to be en doxazo. The doxa is to be in our zoe. All right. But the others are cast out, meaning that they are just left to themselves, and thus they fall away on their own and they self-destruct. Now, back to Matthew 13, we pick up at verse 49. "So shall it be at the end of the world. Therefore, This is speaking of the end time, and thus we should see that it is speaking of this hour. And he continues by saying, the angels, which that's a small a meaning messengers or men with a message, shall come forth. And if they are to come forth, they must do something, traveling, and in the process they will sever, which means to separate, divide, or to mark off from others by boundaries to separate. To separate what? The wicked. Poneros, disease, wicked evil, from among the just. Those that have been justified, and this is the same name that Cain was said to be of that wicked one, so these will be classified as Cain. So there is your false vine who grows up alongside of the true, but they're all caught up into the gospel net, or into the great net, I should say. The great net. You have messagedoctrine.net. You have otherthings.org. One points to organization, one's pointing to a net. Now remember, you are justified by faith. Brother Brown taught us that faith is a revelation. Therefore, these are those who have received the revelation of Jesus Christ, which is the doctrine of Christ. These are the innocent ones, the faultless ones, those who have been found guiltless. And the word just is also used of him whose way of thinking, feeling, and acting is wholly conformed to the will of God, and who therefore needs no rectification in their heart or life, only Christ truly. In other words, these people are in doxazod. They are filled with the doxa of God in their life. All right, it not just reflects from, you know, they can talk to the doctor. It reflects in their life, the way they live. All right? Those that are approved are accepted. And thus they have the very mind of Christ. For no man can even understand the things of God except them who have the Spirit of God. They alone are justified. But what about the others? And shall cast them into the furnace of fire. This signifies those that are not kept in the net are those who are rejected, because they have rejected the revealed word, and they are cast into the tribulation period, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Now remember, Jesus said in John 12:48, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last days. Now, from the 10 virgins, Brother Bram says, they were cast into outer darkness, and there'd be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. All right, that's the great tribulation, isn't it? The great tribulation. Again, from Patmos' vision, he says, so then the foolish virgin was the one who did not have oil on their lamps, that I believe that was cast out into outer darkness, where they'd be weeping, wailing, and gnashing of teeth. If you compare that on your footnotes, it'll run it back again to the great tribulation. And I think they're the ones that stay back and go through that great tribulation. And from question and answer on the seals, he said, now take John 10, I believe it is. He said, I am the door. See, I am the door that you enter by. Now, there he stands at the door, and here's the man that put the robe on him, the Holy Spirit, to give him the robe of righteousness when he comes in. Now, this man had come by some organization back at the window over here, some slip-in hole, and he got in at the table and he sat down. Remember, again, at the end time, it says, when they feast with you. So it says they will come in unawares, and they will feast with you, but they're not the same as you. All right? So, now this man had come in by some organization back in the window over here, some slip-in hole, and he got in the table and sat down. And then when the bridegroom comes up and looks around, these had been odd ducks before. Now he's the odd duck. See? What are you doing here like that without the baptism of the Holy Ghost and these things? How did you even get here? Well, he come in somewhere besides the door, and he come without the proper invitation. See, he comes by some educational system, see, or something like that. He got in, and he said to them, bind him hand and feet, cast him out here into outer darkness, where there'll be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. See, he went into the tribulation period. See, he did not come in by the door. So, all right. Now, I hope that we can see by the fact that Brother Brown said all the New Testament speaks of this hour, that this parable is very much alive today and has become a reality, and we have been made partakers of what God is doing in this hour. To me, the meaning of this parable is as plain as it can get. Jesus is definitely speaking of the end time and of a net that is cast into all the world, so the net would have to be big enough to reach the four corners of the earth, and I can think of no other net that could fit that description he gives except it be the internet. Now, Brother Brown taught us that God reveals his word by bringing it to pass. Another thing you want to see is that you don't see today in this, you know, since about the year 2000, you don't see great evangelists crisscrossing the nation, holding big meetings and having 50,000 in a stadium and this and that. Everything's done by the internet. Everything is. The truth and the false alike. Now, Brother Branham taught us that God reveals His Word by bringing it to pass. And if I did not see this coming to pass before my very eyes, I would not be able to stand here and speak these words. But the net has taken the end-time ministry and doctrine of Christ into all the world. We have gone into more than 199 countries. In fact, I believe it's over 200 now that I know of, and many more that I don't know of, because I quit checking the stats when it reached 199. And that was about 15 years ago. And that also includes the Vatican City State. And we've gone into many Muslim countries. I've actually got a picture. I was going to put it in my notes. I forgot to do it. Of 22 nations that I specifically know of myself, where you cannot even own a Bible, and yet brethren have contacted me with questions from those about the message doctrine from those countries. And no other net could have done what this internet has done, and that is to cast its reach into all the world. Now, you say, well, why don't you go to those countries? I don't feel led to go to those countries. But I know brothers who do, and I've actually taken those people that have contacted me, and I've contacted Brother Jason, I've contacted Abisco's son-in-law, what's his name? The one that goes over to Jordan and these places. And like there were 13 people from Jordan, they were from Syria, they had moved to Jordan. No, they were from Jordan. They had moved to Lebanon. And they wanted to start a church. And I said, look, my ministry doesn't go to those places, but I know one who does. So I contacted Brother Biscoe's son-in-law and said, would you make, you know, here's their contact information. Could you kind of take care of them? Because he goes over there all the time. And he wrote back. He said, you know, brother, he said, I really appreciate that. Because he said, you know, there's a lot of people that, you know, when they get somebody under their umbrella, they just hold on to them, and they, you know, they it's like a market. And I said, well, I don't believe in that. I believe there's some who water and some who give the increase. God gives the increase, but there's some who plant and some who water. And I said, I'm not into planting. That's not my ministry. My ministry is to water this word. So I said, that's what I do, and that's what I've done. And you know, I don't need everybody to come to me. I want them to go to brothers that will lead them further into the message. So, therefore, I feel that based on the parable and based on the words of William Branham and based on the manifestation of what we've seen, we can truly see the fulfillment of this parable of how God is gathering together all things in one, which means we're gathered to the Word. Now, we have scriptures like Luke 3:17, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor, and he will gather the wheat into his garner, but the chaff will be burned with unquenchable fire. Again, we find in 2 Thessalonians 2:1, now we beseech you, brethren, by the parousia of the Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him. So at the time of the parousia, there'll be a gathering together unto him. We've already shown you this morning how they're gathered. I'm showing you scriptures now that speaks of that they will be gathered. Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, that speaks of gathering, as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Matthew 3:11-12, he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but unto them it's not given. For whosoever hath, or echoes, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance, but whosoever hath not from him shall be taken away, even that which he thinks he has. Now, from events made clear by prophecy, Brother Branham said, now, God knew that them men were so puffed up and so full of theology that they thought that they had everything right. They had never noticed the word for the hour. See, God said, you will succeed, go down. And when Micaiah said that, that made them prophesy under an evil spirit. They'd have jerked the plug out of the telephone or turned off the radio or done anything they heard that coming against them, got up and walked out. But look what happened. Now, Micaiah had to check his vision with the written word. Therefore, he knowed. He said, when I come, I'll put that man in prison, give him waters of sorrow and bread of sorrow, and when I return, I'll deal with him. And Micaiah said, if you come back at all, God never spoke to me. That's when he knows his vision is exactly with every word for the hour. It was Ahab's time. Brother, sister, this is the hour and the time of the calling out of Babylon. The evening lights are here. Walk in the light while it is light. Notice the believer saw the word manifested and believed it. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice, my word, my sign of the age. A false ones they'll not follow. So again, you got a gathering of the true vine and the false vine. It's the same net, internet, that's gathering. Ones are being gathered to organization, others are being gathered to the doctrine, to the word. Now, from total separation from unbelief, Brother Brown said, now today, if God has made a promise, and when that promise is vindicated, then that is light. That's the light of the day. When the word is vindicated, the word for the hour is vindicated. Then God was going to have an earth that he was going to grow vegetation, and he'd have people upon the earth. And then he spoke and separated the waters from the sea. Then he also separated in Genesis life from death. Now, if we believe the word of God, it is the word of life to us. But if we question the word of God, it is death to us. For God has spoken, who can deny it? See? And if we question the word of God, then it becomes death. Again, for man that can turn on the light, he says, we have the word. Why, the word, everybody can pack a Bible that wants to. But when the word is vindicated, made manifest, why, I said, well, we believe. Yes, sir, they believe all the word. Well, so does Satan. Those Pharisees could condemn them not believing. But they didn't believe the word for the hour. They were worshiping in a glare of something else. That's the same thing that they're doing today. You're keeping up Luther's tradition or Wesley's tradition and the rest of them, the Pentecostal tradition. But what of the hour? The Pharisees was keeping up their traditions, but behind their traditions was the true word of God coming to shine forth. And when it did, it blinded their eyes. They couldn't see it because they was watching something else. So is it today. May God let that soak in till it really hits home to the people that you believe it. It's later than you think. So as we saw in when we were studying the unveiling of God, I believe I preached it in 137, where Brother Bram is a quote where he says, now, he said, see, they can read the same Bible that you're reading, but they can't see the manifestation of it. In other words, he said, Daniel read the same Bible that you're reading. And Daniel saw that this was the hour for Israel that had been captive to be set free and to build and to go back and build the temple. So Daniel prepared himself. And that's what I'm trying to say is when we see it manifesting around us, this word is time to prepare for what you're seeing. All right? Many people can point back 60 years ago and say God sent a prophet, but do they understand that there's a bride, an elect child of God that's supposed to be child trained until he comes to the place where he can't be deceived, he can't be tossed about by every wind of doctrine like a child. All right? Then you prepare yourself for that because that speaks of you. You see? Now, from what shall I do with Jesus? He said, Jesus told them, if you would have heard Moses, you would have believed my word because he's the one that spoke of me. See? There's the word of that prophet, which the Lord comes to the prophet. And the prophet spoke the word for the hour to come. And here it was identified. And he said, you say that you know Moses and he's your guide, but you don't know Moses. You don't know his word. In other words, he said, I am the word. I am the identified word that Moses spoke would come. And you condemn me. See, for their tradition. See, the church condemning him. Notice, in Jesus' day, they said, we don't need you. We've got Moses. They say the same thing today. We don't need this doctrine called parousia. We don't need it. We've got William Branham. You see, they don't understand that God is here. They say parousia is a false doctrine. They have no clue of the Bible. If they would just study their Bible, they wouldn't call these things false like they do. From God identified by his characteristics, he said, now, remember that in these days, these last days, Hebrews 1 and 1, God in sundry time, diverse manner, spake to the fathers through the prophets, and this last day has spoken unto us through his Son, Jesus Christ. See, identification of God himself manifested in the same manner as he did in four times, using his same characteristics. Amen. Notice Hebrews 13 and 8, he's the same yesterday, sundry times, today, and forever. His same manner, his same way, his same characteristics, everything is the same. God, the unchangeable God, can no more get away from that characteristic than he get away from his commandments. That's what he is. He is the Word. He is the Word for the hour. He's the Word. When he created the world, that was the Word. When he created man, that was the Word, his attributes. You see, here's the thing. When you're looking back at a historical perspective, Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago did this and this and this, you're missing the God who is the I am. You see, Yeah, he was the I was, but he's the I am. I mean, he was the I am back there, but he's the I am now. He is never the I was. Because if he was the I was, he wouldn't be around, right? But he's the same. So, you see, the Word of God has to be looked at in a perspective of today. If you don't look at it in the perspective of today, you're missing the boat. You're missing what God is doing right now. All right? When he created Christ, that was God Emmanuel. It had. And when he made him Savior, that was his attribute. When he made him a healer, that was his attribute. See, it's the Word always being identified, the identified Word by the characteristics of God. Notice the manner he's always, he never changes. Now, from the unveiling of God, excuse me. See, every parable in the Bible, every type of the Bible, is made manifest right here before us as present tense. The same God in the pillar of fire that wrote the Bible, what's he talking about? What's he talking about? The entire New Testament speaks of this hour. He'd have people come up and there'd be a woman standing there. He said, okay, now I'm going to turn my back to you and talk to you. Like God had his back turned to the tent, right? He did those things to let you know it's the same yesterday as it is today. All right? The same God in the pillar of fire that wrote the Bible, both in the Old Testament and New Testament, is right here and manifesting it, showing just exactly what it was, interpreting it right back, and to make it sure that it's the interpretation. We got the interpretation, then let's see it happen. See, that's it. Let's see it made manifest. Jesus said, if I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. See, it's got to be proven. But now, not proven like Jesus, they put a rag around his head and they hit him on the head and said, if you're a prophet, tell us who hit you. If you're the Son of God, turn this bread. See, that's the devil. If you're the Son of God, come off of that. I mean the revelation that he's supposed to do. That's what it is, see? And from the mighty God, see, they wanted him to clown. He don't clown. He just does what his revelation speaks of him doing. You see? From the mighty God unveiled, he said, now when Jesus come, if he'd have come with Noah's message, it wouldn't have worked. To build an ark and float out, it wouldn't have worked. But Noah was a portion of God. He acted a peculiar way because he was peculiar. And his message was peculiar because it was the Word being made manifest. He could not have come with Moses' message because it wouldn't have worked. Moses was God in a portion, made manifest. He was the Word expressed for that hour. But Jesus could not come in that. The Bible never said that they would come in that way. But when he come expressed exactly like the Testament has said that he would be expressed, then all those that was redeemable believed it because they were the thoughts of God. The attributes of him at the beginning was made flesh and redeemable and was brought back to God. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God because they were redeemable. They were made, they were from the beginning the expression. Now, or in the expression. From the unveiling of God, 148 says, the Word manifested and revealed in that revelation in there, then what does that put me? If he is the Shekinah glory, then I'm a part of it. You see, if God is revealing himself, there's got to be a people that he reveals himself to. We are the ones to whom he revealed. Therefore, that puts you in that storyline. That puts you in what God is doing, and it puts you in as who God is doing it to. You see? So he's not just doing it over here someplace and you're watching it. Oh, yeah, I see. No, he's doing it to you. He's revealing himself to you. You see? That puts you right in it, he says. If he is the Shekinah glory, I'm a part of it. Amen. Oh, man. Oh, amen. That's right. The Word of self-revealed reveals itself. Think. Now think. The mysteries of God made known to us in this day by the same heavenly messenger that was made known to them in them days. Now, I don't know if there's anyone, except for maybe some dunderheads out there, and you know, I haven't used that word in probably 30, 40 years, but there's probably some people who think that, well, yeah, in fact, I know of one particular because this person said to me something about, you know, they just thought Brother Vail was, you know, just lacking in spirit and this and that. And I said to this person, I said, well, you know, the measure of the Word is the measure of the Spirit. They said, well, I just can't understand. I said, you don't believe that that the man who was predestinated to write the church age books, you don't believe that he's right with the Word? Well, I don't know. I said, well, then you're telling me that John the Apostle could have fallen away at the end? Or Peter could have fallen away at the end? I said, you don't know predestination. You see, when predestination is just like a plant. If I've got a wheat seed, I plant it in the ground, I don't care what happens. It's a wheat seed. It's got wheat life in it. And if you are a child of God, ordained before the foundation of the world, and you hear the word, the light strikes the seed in there, it's going to produce son of God or child of God. You see? And if you're not, it's going to produce child of the devil. All right? Now, notice the same pillar of fire that sent Moses, the same pillar of fire that was on Moses, that wrote the Bible, the same pillar of fire that Paul met on the road to Damascus, and Paul wrote in the New Testament. Remember, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they only wrote what they seen. But Paul had the revelation. He pulled it out, for he had met the pillar of fire himself. And, okay, so then we'll go to Matthew 13:28-30. And he said unto them, an enemy hath done this. Now remember, he had just finished talking about the sower went forth sowing seeds, and then an enemy came behind and sowed in the same field, the same net, all right? And now you've got tares growing up alongside of wheat. And so he said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? And he said, nay, lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, that's at the very end, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them into bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Now contrast the fact that the true vine are gathered to the current word with the fact that the false vine are gathered to by organization and a false word by a false shepherd. In Jeremiah 23:1, we read, woe to the shepherds who are destroying and scattering the sheep of my pasture, declares the Lord. Therefore, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says to the shepherds who tend my people. Because you have scattered my flock and driven them away, and have not bestowed the care upon them, I will bestow punishment on you for the evil you have done, declares the Lord. I myself will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries. How's he going to do that? At the end time, he uses a net. Where I have driven them, and will bring them back to their pasture, where they will be fruitful and increase in number. I will place shepherds over them who will tend them, and they will no longer be afraid of terror, nor will any be missing, declares the Lord. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, a king who will reign wisely and do what is just and right in the land. From anointed ones to the end time, Brother Branham tells us, now notice Jeremiah stood up, vindicated before the people, yet they hated him. And so they went out and made a yoke, he did, and put it upon his neck and went before the people. And they said, oh, we are the great people of God. Why, we're Israel. We are so sincere to our synagogue. We attend every Sunday. We offer sacrifice. We pay in our money. How can Nebuchadnezzar ever hold a thing, a holy things of God? Huh? Your sins had done it. God said, if you keep my commandments, I won't do this. But if you don't, it's coming to you. That's exactly right. Still the same. Keep his commandments, his word for the hour, what he promised. Now, so you're looking at this great net, and you have the people are gathering to the net, and every one of you, you've got your cell phones, you've got your this and that, you have access to that net. The net has drawn you in. I remember 2 years ago, we're watching the sermons on the net, and so you see, this is what's happening. This is how God brings. It's not the preacher going out and has a campaign, and he goes out and he bangs and whistles and everything else, and I get you to come. It's God. We put it out there, but see, it's like the little fly goes by and he gets caught in the net. God, the footsteps of the righteous are ordered of the Lord. All right, you're drawn in. And you're okay. Matthew 13:24. Another parable he put forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat, and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servant of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst thou not sow good seed in thy field? From whence hath it come to this? He said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, wilt thou then that we gather them up? But he said, nay, lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat, that both grow together to the harvest, in the time of harvest, say to the reapers, gather you together first the tares, bind them in bundles, and then gather the wheat into my barn. Now, from the indictment, Brother Brown said, if that ain't enough to condemn this generation, there, the most religious organization, the biggest of all the churches gathered together in one place, they, the most religious people of all the races, the people that were supposed to be the very worshipers of God, they gathered at the greatest holy feast they got, the cleansing of the Passover, when they was brought from bondage to liberty, and there in that time they, at that time the most religious people, the most religious feast at the most religious place, brought upon the Prince of Life the most shameful thing that they could be done, to strip a man and hang him on a tree because they, cursed is he, said the law, that they worship by. Cursed is he that hangs on the tree, and he was made a curse for us. Stripping his clothes, beating and mocking him, the very God of heaven, taking his clothes from him and nailing him to the cross, him. There they crucified him. There they crucified him. There, the holiest people, they, in the most holy place, crucified the worst punishment could ever be done him, the Lord of glory, under Roman capital punishment, he says. From the indictment, and the Protestants, see, they gathered together and have an organization just exactly like they did at Nicaea, Rome, where they gathered, where they organized the Catholic Church and at Nicaea Council. And we find that they're both the same. They're both the same. They leave the Word of God to make an organization. See, and then when it comes to many great truths that seem strange today, it's foreign to them because they've only been taught by a ritual. We have no ritual but the Bible. We have nothing but God's holy word, and that's where we stand. From ordination, he says, and a church is a group of people that's gathered together without an organization. That don't make one person here to not be, because you come here, or any other church, to make you a member. There's only one way to be a member of the body of Christ. That's you're born into it by the Holy Ghost. Again, Hebrews chapter 6, verse 7. And 7, and faith has such a great place in Christian, the believer's life, that it can take its stand by the side of the muddy grave or over a casket where a precious baby or sweetheart has passed from this life to the beyond, and with a stern look of the eagle eye can look to him who said, I am the resurrection and the life, and they forget the things that's in the past. They press on to the mark of the high calling. I'm so glad that God has provided such and has made it free gift to all. That's what churches are to be. Churches doesn't mean denominations or organizations. It means groups of people, of believers who gather together under the fellowship of the Word. So, I've got actually some sermons I could preach right now just on where Brother Brown said, the minute you organize, that's the minute you die. It only takes two to have an organization. Well, it just takes two to start a denomination. All right. But it takes two or three that gather in my name, Jesus said, to make a church. Not organized around it, but take his word. From Unpardonable Sin, he says, so the thing of it is to see that God doesn't recognize any organization or any groups of people. If you're a Methodist, he doesn't recognize you because you're a Methodist. If you're Pentecostal, he doesn't recognize you because you're Pentecostal. He recognizes only an individual, amen, that has been born, regenerated by the Holy Ghost, and made a new creature in Christ Jesus. He don't recognize organizations. He don't recognize great gatherings. God never comes in great gatherings because it's a great gathering. He comes because the hearts are in one accord and expecting him to come. Look at Jesus to the humblest of church, two or three gathered in my name. Now, I said this morning, I'll say it again just now, that our little church here, so far as we are concerned, we try to stand on the unadulterated word of God. Okay. Then we find him again in Matthew 13:36. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. He answered unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man, the field is the world, the good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil, the harvest is the end, the world of the world, the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned into the fire, so shall be at the end of the world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now, listen, the same thing took place in the Alpha. Men crept into the message back then, all right, and tried to point the people back to the past, back to traditions, back to organization, instead of the manifested word. So we're just going to close with a few scriptures showing you the Alpha and Omega. In 2 Peter 2 and 1, it says, but there were, past tense, false prophets among the people. Even so shall there be false teachers among you, who privately will bring in damnable heresies. Bring in where? Like Jude said, feasting with you, right? Bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. We find in Galatians chapter 2, now that was Peter, we find Paul in Galatians 2 and 1. Then 14 years after I went up to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also, and I went up by revelation and communicated unto them the gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. And that, because of false brethren, unawares brought in, see just what Peter said, who came in privately to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. But of those who seem to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, it maketh no difference to me, or maketh no matter to me. God accepteth no man's person. For they who seem to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. But contrarywise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of uncircumcision was to Peter. So, in other words, Paul says, look, you got some big shots in there. And said, well, you know, we walked with Jesus. We did this. He says, look, it doesn't make any difference to me. You know, I've walked with him for 3 years in the you know, out in the desert. And he was in the form of the pillar of fire. You know? And that was God, the Lord, the Father of Jesus Christ. Now, Acts 13:38. But be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that though this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things, from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses, beware, therefore, lest that come upon you which is spoken of in the prophets. Behold, you despisers, and wonder, and perish. For I work a work in your days, a work which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes, following Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. And when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy. And spake against those things which are spoken of by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. So you see the same thing going on in the Alpha. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing you put it from you, and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light to the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region, but the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women. You see, they always work through the women, you know, and the chief men of the city, and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coast. But they shook off the dust of their feet against them, and they came unto Iconium. Again, in just almost closing here, Acts 15:1. And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. And when therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain others of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. And being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles. And they caused great joy unto all the brethren. And when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of the apostles and elders, and they declared all the things that God had done with them. But there arose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees which believed. Notice, they're still Pharisees. Sect of the Pharisees that believed. So, okay, we're Pharisees and the Jewish, but now we're going to be followers of Jesus, but we're going to still be Pharisees. Give me a break. Come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. But there arose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees, which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. And the apostles and elders came together for to consider this matter. And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, Men and brethren, you know that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? In other words, God in the dream showed Peter. He said, Peter saw all this food and stuff, and it was not kosher. And Peter, you know, in the dream, God said, eat it. It's clean. It's healthy. Don't call that unclean, which I call clean. You know? But we believe that through the grace of Lord Jesus Christ, we should be saved even as they. Then all the multitude kept silence and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles by them. So you see the same in the Alpha takes place in the Omega. They bring into the message their own polluted understandings from their Pentecostalism or their Baptist or their whatever denomination they came into. They carry it with them because that's what they were trained. And as Irenaeus said, they need their brains baptized as well as their body. You know? Now, finally in Jude we read, Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. And the angel which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness, under the judgment of the great day, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, as set for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise, all these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, The Lord rebuke thee. But these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they do know naturally is brute beasts, and those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain. In other words, Cain had the word for another age. Remember, Cain's firstborn was named Enoch. Cain was offering a first fruit offering, which is a resurrection offering. But without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. So how are you going to be get a resurrected body if you're still living in sin? And ran greedily after the heir of Balaam for a reward, that's organization and numbers, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah, Moses. They said Moses isn't the only one that God uses. You see, these are spots in your feast of charity when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, and their clouds, which is witnesses. They are without water, without no rain, no doctrine, but carried about of winds, every wind of man's doctrine, and their trees, their men, whose fruit, their teaching, withereth, and in fact, without fruit, without teaching, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Their raging waves of the sea, they're always angry, foaming out their own shame, like a mad dog foams at the mouth, wandering stars, always wondering about this, wondering about that, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. So it is prophesied to be that way at the end time, as the Apostle Paul also warned us of the grievous wolves who would enter the flock, not sparing the flock, but would come in to shear them and to use them for their own use. So we covered this morning then not only the gathering, because we're gathered to the Word. If we're the true seed of God, we're going to be gathered to the Word for the day which we live, because he's the I am that we worship, not the I was. But others, the false seed, will be always drawn toward organization, toward position, toward those things. And you see the Alpha repeating an Omega, and we see the warning from Jude. We see all of this together so that we should stand firm with a vindicated word given by a vindicated prophet. And now, we could have gone into more scripture on being gathered together and all those things. We gave you plenty. But we also gave you how God gathers. That's important, because you could read that scripture about being gathered and people all wonder, oh, is God just going to do some big miracle and all of a sudden we're going to be together? No, there's a process God is using. And He always uses men. And He's using the fivefold ministry to gather using a net, which is the internet, could only have been done in this hour. Because the gathering is at the time of what? The parousia of Christ. So let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we thank You for Your word. We ask You, Lord, to be with us more and help us to see things as a present tense, the present tense truth, the present tense word. And Father, may we not be looking back or looking forward, because that's how people miss Him. But may we be looking at what You are doing right now. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. And may we be at rest in that. Okay. All right. Well, the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you.